calling me Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name buried in cheers and applause? In all probability, there is not. What's a Carrington flair? Some Knightsbridge designer who's bringing back bell bottoms for men? Maybe it's a new flammable cocktail. Perhaps a dance craze sweeping the clubs in Ibiza. None of the above. The question is slightly deceptive. It should be phrased, what was a Carrington flair? And the short answer is something fantastic, something terrifying, something that rocked the world, making people think it was coming to an end. And best of all, it's something that may happen again, and soon. What is it? Some called it a solar flare. Now they're calling it a geomagnetic storm, and saying it poses an existential threat to modern man and modern woman. Not that there's much difference anymore. I'll circle back to that male-female thing after we take a look at geomagnetic storms. Seems the astrophysicists have figured out some kind of pattern in these storms, and there was a doozy back in 1859. Some British astronomer named Carrington was first to notice it, and as soon as he did, strange things began to happen. People could see the northern lights, the auroras, as far south as the equator. They were so bright that in the Rocky Mountains, gold miners awoke in the middle of the night and made breakfast. In the northeast, people could read newspapers by the light. But the light show was just a light show. The truly freaky aspect was what the phenomena did to the only real electrical systems in existence at that time, telegraphs. They blew up all over Europe and North America, often giving telegraphers extreme shocks, and even the telegraph poles were throwing sparks. In some cases, messages could be sent and received even after the power had failed. Weird. In 1859, electricity was something of a novelty. There was no power grid. And telegraphs were simple and sturdy systems. Now the grid is massive and fragile, and much of our communications are wireless, which is infinitely more subject to electromagnetic disturbances. So what exactly is a geomagnetic storm? Well, apparently, the sun has zits, and every so often they pop in what's called a coronal mass ejection. Those ejections are of varying power, volume, and duration, and most splatter harmlessly onto that big bathroom mirror out there in space. But once in a while, they shoot straight at Mother Earth with alarming velocity. The Carrington flare took only 17 hours to travel the entire 93 million miles to Earth and start blowing telegraph keys out of guys' fingers. I don't know how many telegraphers there were in 1859, but today we are all telegraphers, aren't we? With our smartphones pressed to our ears and faces for sick amounts of time every day. Other than a few crafty survivalist types living off or nearly off the grid, we are all terribly dependent upon the grid. A repeat of the most significant solar storm on record would cost trillions of dollars in damage as power grids, communication networks, and electronic equipment worldwide would be fried. Some scientists believe that could send civilization into reverse. No shit. So this storm, which they say is due sometime next year, is going to fuck up the 1,500 satellites up there, and of course GPS, and avionics and aircraft, and telecommunications, and submarine cables, and even electrical currents housed in underwater pipelines. A fantastic shitstorm, which millions of guys will be praying for fervently, while women will ignore the story or not fret about it because doomsday does not appeal to women. Why do men crave doomsday? Because it's the only way they can reclaim their masculinity. Our culture has been so feminized and men have been so marginalized that there is a palpable collective consciousness that craves doom. And this geomagnetic thing is pretty good. It would flip the world back to the mid-19th century where men were men and women were damn glad to have one around. But unlike nuclear war, plague, or famine, there would not be wholesale death and messy bodies to deal with. Instead, life would offer challenges of daily survival that actually made it a little bit more exciting. There's a big push out there to emasculate men and defeminize women, and it's working pretty damn good. Men have become victims of their own technology, and fewer those who can see this happening. There is a war on men and things masculine, and the latest dispatch from the front says we are getting our asses kicked. Here's your homework assignment. Watch one of the best movies ever made, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and then tell me Nurse fucking Ratchet isn't running the world. She is. A world where life is controlled and predictable, right down to stool elimination and consistency. A medicated world. Oh, yes. Once upon a time, it was called medicine. Parents would tell their kids, take your medicine. Now, it's medication. That extra syllable just makes it so much more what? Important? Official? I've mentioned this before. People, Nurse Ratchet type people, in other words, psychotic control freaks who should have their throats slit and then be hung out a window by their ankles as an example to other Nurse Ratchets, those people just love to use big words when small ones are just as good and often better. Teachers became educators. Repairmen are technicians. At school, lunch has become nutrition. The fucking water fountain is a hydration station. Blow me. Last time I saw a doctor, some nurse asked me if I was using any medication, and I said no. Then she asked if I took vitamins, and I told her, yeah, once in a while my wife makes me pop a vitamin C. And I see this nurse enter this onto her tablet under medications, and I ask her, how is a vitamin medication? She looked at me like I was nuts. I then asked her if eating an orange was medication. She rolled her eyes, her stupid eyes, and left the room. Just as in Cuckoo's Nest, just as in Huxley's book Brave New World, millions and millions of Americans are taking antidepressants, mood levelers. And the female-male split? Women are taking them at double the rate of men. Well, that's a lot of unhappy people. Why are women so much more dissatisfied with life? They are more empowered than ever before. How can that be explained? By the way, Huxley, who was revered by every asshat commie college professor I ever had, was a fucking weirdo. He was an acid head before there were hippies, and he actually believed some of the shit he predicted was good for humanity. Here's a prediction he made in a letter to George Orwell. Within the next generation, the world's leaders will discover that infant conditioning and narco-hypnosis are more efficient as instruments of government than clubs and prisons, and that the lust for power can be just as completely satisfied by suggesting people into loving their servitude as by flogging them or kicking them into obedience. Unquote. He may have been a weirdo, but he was eerily prophetic because vast numbers of children, especially male children, are on various kinds of soma. Same as the adults, who do love their servitude as passive observers of life. Have we not become a society of watchers, not participants? We watch some pro athlete score the goal, or watch some actor get the girl, or kick the bad guy's ass. And the closest anyone comes to being proactive and participating in anything are the tweets they make or the comments they leave on YouTube or Facebook or Reddit. Even that has been feminized. In the early days, Facebook did have a thumbs down button. That was soon deleted because it just wasn't nice. That would be a Nurse Ratched move, wouldn't it? More and more it seems as if Nurse Ratched's very music is wafting through the ether, as if tiny speakers float on the air like a windblown dandelion. Her theme was not just a treacly stringed instrumental, that song has a title. I wonder who's kissing her now. More male passivity, cuckoldry even, in the world of Nurse Ratched, a world that is safe, where everything is nice. Behavior must not ever be offensive or inappropriate.
Take your medication. Obey all rules. Do as you are told. Mommy is in control. Walk, do not run. Do not use foul language. No alcoholic beverages. Do not approach females. Do not touch females. Take your medication. Do not be aggressive. Do not challenge authority. Watch TV. Safety first. Always be safe. Do not shout. Obey all women. Respect all uniforms. Take your medication. Obey all women.
There was an oddball indie movie in the 1980s, Koyaanisqatsi. That's an Indian word meaning life out of balance. How humanity has grown apart from nature, especially our own God-given nature. Our keyboard customer service economy has millions of big strong dudes chained to desks all day. Guys who should be moving mountains and harpooning whales and taking risks, but instead they tap a keyboard, and the biggest challenge all day is whether to have the ciabatta turkey and cheese or the mac and cheese dispensed from the vending machine in the windowless employee nutrition room. Adventure has been extracted from nearly every aspect of our existence, replaced by
safety, safety, safety.
Most men no longer live lives of quiet desperation. They live lives of a veal. Which, if you haven't heard, here's the thumbnail. Veal was invented as a way to utilize the millions of unwanted male calves. That's right, they're always male. Because males don't make milk. And they do grow up with muscles, so what good are they? They take the male calf right after birth and lock him in what is actually called a veal crate, a box that's no more than 2.5 feet wide. Then they feed him an all-liquid diet of a milk substitute that contains no iron, no fiber. The calf never gets to walk, lie down, or even turn around in the box. When they do leave the crate for slaughter, few can even walk because they have no muscle development. What a life, huh? But until they are slaughtered, they live in perfect
safety, safety, safety.
Men want and need adventure, and true adventure is not possible without some degree of danger. Do women like danger? Not so much. But our world now revolves around two things: safety and compliance. As long as we comply, we'll be safe. Refusal to comply will result in chemical castration and or chemical lobotomy. Little boys in school are not hardwired to sit quietly with their hands folded and pay attention the way girls are. And Nurse Ratched-style teachers, educators. Rather than deal with these boys, they declare them defective and recommend they be put on medication, which is really a veal crate in a tablet or a capsule. Just medicate them to keep them quiet so the girls can be empowered. But when the girls get to be women, why are they so miserable? Where are all the good men? They complain. Answer? They're playing video games or watching porn. Why would they want to go out and meet any women? That's too risky. They might say or do something offensive and wind up expelled from school or fired from their job or jailed. So many of today's males opt for the safety of the electronic veal crate. When a story breaks, like the coming geomagnetic storm, some guys latch onto it like it contains winning lottery numbers. And who can blame them? For the sake of future generations, the reset button must be pushed. Because it does seem as if only some cataclysm, some act of God, can take our culture from the state of koyaanisqatsi back to the natural state of balance. When men were men and women were women, and everyone seemed to be a fuck ton happier. So keep watching those skies, stock up on firewood, put aside a few gallons of gas, maybe buy that generator you've been thinking about, grab some extra ammo and batteries. A CB radio might be a good idea too. They don't say exactly when the big geomagnetic storm will come next year, but that would take half the fun out of it, right? Besides danger, adversity, and surprise are also vital elements of adventure. Since the cell phones might literally blow up in your face, now is as good a time as any to cut your usage. Other than listening to this show, of course. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. If you like what you just heard, slide over to patreon.com/thatlarryshow and support the show. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com and come on back and hang with us this weekend for Sinner's Sunday. We've got a special bonus episode for patrons only. It's in the works and you won't want to miss it. I'll have more about that this Sunday. Until that time, take no shit and eat no veal.